Please open your Bibles now to the book of Philippians, looking at chapter 4 this evening. We took a week off as we were all at the Camp Curry gathering, which actually was held in Winchester due to the weather. But it was a blessed time as we heard the word preached, as we worshiped together with like-minded believers. But as we come back together, I think it's important that we back up a bit and remember where we were a couple of weeks ago. We were looking at the topic of Christian contentment, and that we saw from the verses 10 through 13 in our passage. Tonight we'll be focusing on 14 through 18, but I want to read beginning with verse 10 of chapter 4 to get a sense of the context once again of Paul's words in our text this evening. Remembering that Paul's contentment was rooted in his relationship with Christ, his spiritual union with Jesus Christ, through whom he could do all things by the strength of Jesus Christ. And he moves on from Christian contentment to talk about Christian concern, which will be our focus this evening. So please give attention to God's word. I'll begin reading with verse 10 of Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content whatever in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Well, as I mentioned before in our last study, we looked at the topic of Christian contentment, which, by the way, seems to be an elusive mindset in our culture today. Contentment is hard to come by. We talked about that when we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. But in the strength of Jesus Christ, it is possible for us to be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. That's hard to really grasp, isn't it? Because when we find ourselves in periods of want, when we find ourselves in times of adversity, we are not naturally content. But we can be supernaturally through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here. And he was in serious trial when he was writing these words. Yet he said he learned the secret of contentment in times of plenty or prosperity and in times of adversity. Well, in our text this evening, we see that contentment is also closely tied to generosity. Real joy and contentment will not be present in the lives of those who selfishly put their own interests above others. You're not going to be content if you're a selfish person. If selfishness is a quality that is common in your life, you will not be content. Paul has emphasized the importance of concern for others in various ways through this letter. He prays that the Philippians' love may abound still more and more in chapter 1, verse 9. He urges them to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, and to look out for the interests of others in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And he calls them to have the attitude of Jesus Christ. We talked about that, remember, in the latter part of chapter 2, verse 5, as Jesus was willing to submit to the Father's will even to the point of death on the cross for the sake of his people. And so now Paul praises the Philippians for their unselfish generosity. His words are a reminder to us of the importance of genuine Christian concern for others. And as we look at this passage tonight, we see that our sacrificial giving has ramifications for three different parties, if you will. It has ramifications for those who receive the gift, for those who share, and for our Father in heaven. First of all, our giving blesses those who receive. It blesses those who receive. How do you express Christian contentment without offending the giver? Have you thought about that? How do you show Christian contentment but don't offend the giver, the ones that have been giving generously to you in some way? Well, Paul strikes a proper balance here. He begins by showing gratitude in verse 10, which we read earlier. Gratitude for the provision of the Philippians. And yet he goes on to show that his joy is not tied to material gifts or circumstances in which he lives. He's learned contentment in all circumstances through the strength of Jesus Christ. So he's grateful, but his contentment is not tied to what he has or what he's received. However, the word nevertheless there in verse 14 shows that the Philippians' gift was significant. Even though he said his contentment was not tied to that, he recognizes the significance of their gift. It was not overlooked. They had done well, he says. They had performed a beautiful or noble act on his behalf. That same word for done well is used to describe the act of Mary of Bethany, who anointed Jesus with costly perfume at the house of Simon the leper. And in Mark 14:6, Jesus rebuked those who frowned on this gesture, and he said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me." She has done well. And Paul recognizes that the Philippians have done well. The Philippians had also done a good deed to him. And its effect on him reminds us of the blessing that we bring to others when we give, when we share the resources that we have with others. We bless them. And that's what Paul is expressing. Well, first, it's a way to share in another's affliction. How do we bless others? How do we benefit them? Well, we share in their affliction. Verse 14, Paul was facing difficult circumstances. He was a prisoner in Rome. He was on trial for his life. And some leaders were trying to take advantage of his vulnerable position as they preached Christ out of envy and rivalry. They were trying to make inroads in gaining popularity and power and prestige in the church. But the Philippians stood with Paul. They were sharing in his suffering through their gift. And that word share is a form of the Greek word koinonia, the word for fellowship. And this is true Christian fellowship. When we support one another in distressing times, it's one of the ways that we show koinonia, fellowship in the body of Christ. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ." Well, we have had many opportunities to do that, to give to those who are in need, to give abroad, to give to global missions, to give to labors in East Asia. And these are opportunities to give abroad, but we can also give within our own body as we seek to meet the needs of one another when there are times of difficulty. But to share in one another's affliction is one of the ways that others are benefited. Second, it is an encouragement to the one in need when we give. We see this in verses 10 and 15. Paul rejoiced in the Lord when he received their gift. He rejoiced. It was a sign that they were still concerned for him. And this had been their pattern in the past. It wasn't that this was the first time that they gave. They had given many times in the past. They'd given when no one else had given to Paul. Verse 15 indicates that after Paul had first preached in Philippi 10 years before as a new church, they supported him in his further missionary travels. So he was there laboring in Philippi, establishing the church. He went on to other locations, and they supported him in that work. He uses a couple terms as he expresses this, the words giving and receiving. And those words in the Greek are accounting terms. So Paul is saying that the record shows, the accounting shows, that the Philippians were the only church who shared with him. They entered into, in essence, a partnership with Paul when he left Macedonia, when he left Philippi, and he preached then in Athens and in Corinth. And that was after they had sent gifts more than once while Paul was in Thessalonica. So they were supporting him in his missionary endeavors, even beyond his labors among them in Philippi. Well, do you see how your giving can encourage the hearts of other believers? It doesn't have to be material. How encouraging it is just to receive a note from another believer, another brother or sister in Christ, or when another believer offers to pray for you. That's been a tremendous blessing to me at various times when, after a conversation, a brother in Christ says, "Could I pray for you?" and leads in prayer at that point. It's a way to minister and to share with another, to give encouragement. But certainly giving time and resources is a way to lift up fellow Christians, to encourage. And third, the practical needs of another person are met. We see that in verse 18. Notice the three ways that it is expressed in that verse. Paul says, "I have received everything in full." And the phrase was commonly used in commerce to indicate full payment. And so this was Paul's receipt, if you will, to the Philippians. "You've paid everything in full," he's saying. There was nothing lacking in this gift that he had received from the Philippians. In fact, Paul had an abundance, he says, more than enough. Their generosity overflowed so that he was amply supplied, he says, by the gift that they had sent to him through Epaphroditus. But we're not told what the gift contained. We're not told what Epaphroditus brought to Paul as he was under house arrest in Rome. One writer suggests that it may have included clothing, maybe reading material, maybe money to cover expenses. Remember that as a prisoner, Paul could not work to provide for himself, so he wouldn't have been able to acquire things or have resources to acquire things that he needed. And so while he did not seek the assistance of the Philippians, they had generously met his need. They had taken the initiative to supply his need abundantly. But are we willing to give in tangible ways to advance the kingdom of Christ? Now, certainly we can give gifts to people personally in need. But a chief way that we meet the needs of Christ's church is through our weekly tithes and offerings. Every week we have an opportunity to give to the advancement of the Church of Jesus Christ as we bring tithes and offerings to the worship. And certainly we can give beyond that in other settings, and we should plan to do that as we see other needs that arise. But this is a very concrete way for you to show your love for Christ and your commitment to the progress of the gospel of Christ. Our giving blesses those who receive. Well, the second thing we see is that our giving enriches our own lives spiritually. It enriches our own lives spiritually. In verse 17, Paul clarifies his true desire. He is not greedily seeking material benefit for himself. He did not enter the apostolic ministry for personal gain. He was not trying to get rich in the work that he was doing. But instead, his chief focus is on the giver of the gift. His concern is for spiritual fruit to be produced in the lives of his Christian friends in Philippi. And this shows his selfless character, his contentment in the Lord. Again, he uses a business term. He seeks for the profit or the fruit, which increases to their account. That's what he says. In other words, or in the words of Christ, he wants to see them laying up treasure, not on earth, but in heaven. Their giving will benefit them, in essence, as they lay up treasure in heaven. But aren't we tempted to think in just the opposite way when it comes to giving? How often do we worry that if we give, we might not have enough for ourselves? We think that if we share with others, our possessions might be depleted and we might face hardship ourselves. And so we are tempted to hoard our resources. Well, in contrast, the Bible teaches that our lives will be enriched as we grow in selfless service and generosity for Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the false teaching of the prosperity gospel, prosperity theology that is out there that promises financial wealth and riches if you give. But the point is that God honors sincere giving of His people. He will enrich your life spiritually and continue to meet your needs physically. Many verses in Proverbs teach this. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more." In other words, he scatters his resources. He shares. "And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty." The person who's hoarding, he's clinging to his what he has. "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." A similar principle is stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, where Paul says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." We shouldn't give into the motivation, to receive material benefits. But as we give, we need to remember that God will not abandon us. We shouldn't be giving just so that we can get. That's not the point. But it's in the giving God blesses us and He enriches our lives. He promises to provide for us and He will strengthen us spiritually through that process of giving. He'll strengthen us through deeper fellowship with others, with other believers that we are sharing with in times of trouble. He will bless us as we see their lives encouraged as we help to meet their needs. But He will also increase our joy as Christians in our relationship with Him and our love for Him and our faith in Him, because in essence we're learning faith through our giving. We're learning greater trust in His provision as we give of our resources. He will give us a greater vision for the growth of the church worldwide. And as we invest in Christian ministry, we will be more concerned to support that work in prayer, for giving to South Sudan or for giving to other ministries or other situations. Will we not also pray for them? Will we not also be committed to lift them up before the throne of grace? Other blessings could be mentioned, but Acts 20, 35 reminds us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving enriches the giver. Another encouragement to us for Christian concern. And then thirdly, we see that our giving pleases the Lord. Notice the Old Testament phrases which Paul uses in verse 18. "The generous gift of the Philippians is a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." The offering that Noah offered to God following the flood in Genesis 8, as well as the sacrifices that were rightly offered by the Israelites, Leviticus talks about them, are described as fragrant aromas before God. These offerings, these Old Testament sacrifices, were aromas that lifted up and were pleasing in God's sight. Isaiah 56, 7 speaks of the sacrifices of those who joyfully enter God's house of prayer as being acceptable to Him. And Psalm 51:19 shows that the sacrifices of one who is broken and contrite in heart are a delight to the Lord. And Paul's using this language here. What is it that makes our offerings pleasing to God? Well, it depends on our heart attitude when we bring that to Him. That's what honors God. We need to first, of course, have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be offering our sacrifices through the mediation of Jesus Christ. Apart from that, our giving is purely self-oriented, isn't it? Or self-motivated. But as a believer in Christ, are you giving with the right heart attitude? Or are you giving merely out of a sense of duty or out of a sense of what you may gain personally? Are you giving out of love for God and love for others? Or do you inwardly fret and stew when you give, rather than rejoice in the opportunity to share what God has given you? Think, the resources that you have come from the hand of God. And He's given you an opportunity to share and minister to others with them. Do you give legalistically, hoping to gain something in return? Or do you give with a real awareness of God's immeasurable grace and mercy in your life? We can't really even fathom it, can we? The grace and the mercy that God has lavished upon us in Christ. We can't even come close to giving to the degree God has given to us. 2 Corinthians 9:7 instructs us, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's our heart. We need to give with hearts of love for God and for those that we share with. The gift of the Philippians was a sacrificial act of worship before the Lord. And that's really our calling in Christ, is it not? In light of God's mercy to us, we are exhorted in Romans 12, verse 1, to present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. Giving of our lives and our resources in order to honor God. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 also says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips, that give thanks to His name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Another sacrifice offered to honor God is to do good and to share. 1 Peter 2:8 urges us as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And this is one of the ways that we can do that as we minister to fellow members in the body of Christ, far abroad as well as at home, through the resources God has given to us. Well, with these sacrifices, God is pleased. Our Heavenly Father takes pleasure in the generosity of His children. He's pleased when we model His own gracious spirit. He has lavished His love upon us. He gives us every good and perfect gift. And He has given us the indescribable gift through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we begin to reflect His love and His generous character, He is pleased when He sees that in His children. When we share the resources that He has entrusted to us, He is glorified. His name is honored. Are you joyfully giving of yourself and of your resources for God? Remember, your giving blesses those who receive it. It enriches your own life spiritually, and it's pleasing to God. Paul tells us tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19, these words of exhortation for all of God's people. We read, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who supplies richly us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. What are you taking hold of? May we be storing up treasure in heaven. May we be generous and ready to share as those who have received everything generously from the hand of our Lord. May we fix our hope on Him as we give generously for the glory of His name. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for these words of commendation that we read here from Paul to the Philippians, and how they illustrate for us the heart of a generous child of God and a church of God, as they showed the love that You had already shown to them ministering to Your servant. Father, we pray that we too would have generous hearts as those who have received a gift beyond compare, the gift of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, and every day enjoy abundant blessings from Your hand. May we be ready to share the resources You've given to us with those in need as we give, even first of all, each week in the tithes and offerings, but also as we meet the special needs that arise that You place in our path on a daily basis. Father, may You be glorified by Your people. May we be known as a generous people who give cheerfully as those who have received abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.